Church, are you ashamed of the name of Jesus? Because it seems like in modern Christianity, especially in modern American Christianity, that a lot of the people who are adopted into the family of Jesus seem to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Get on contemporary Christian radio stations and listen and see how many times in an hour you hear a song that actually speaks the name of Jesus. Sure, it'll allude to God. It might say Christ. It might say Lord. There's a whole lot of hymns, not H-Y-M-Ns, but H-I-M. And you got to wonder sometimes, him who? If you're not an insider, if you don't know we're singing about Jesus, do you know you're singing about Jesus? Or who is it that bunch of people is giving these praises to? But it's even worse than that. You get into Christian people's posts, and they'll fall into the trap that so many others do of using allusions or titles or something instead of speaking the name of Jesus. There is one thing and one thing only that separates Christianity from the world's religions, and that is Christianity is based on a relationship to God the Father through Jesus the Son. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the key. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate. Why don't we speak the name? The name that is above every name. The name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. But as I said, you know, you get into this, you listen to contemporary music, you look at Christian people's posts, you look at church posts for crying out loud, and a lot of them seem to be afraid to speak the name of Jesus. And then if you listen around to sermons from various sources, you'll find a lot of good teaching, a lot of good edification, but sometimes in some places you find a scarcity of the name of Jesus. By the way, you know what Jesus means? Does anybody know what the word actually means? Well, it's an English transliteration of a Hebrew word, Yeshua, which means salvation. His very function is in His name. Back, I think Connie's teaching from Isaiah, right? They talk about the water pouring ceremony sometimes, and they read words out of the book of Isaiah, and it literally says when Jesus is there at the temple and they're doing the water pouring ceremony, it literally says, it talks about His salvation, God's salvation. What they literally said was His Yeshua. And it's like, whoa, okay. But yet, for some reason, we seem to be editing Jesus out of the church. We can say a lot of things. But why do we do that? Are we afraid of offending someone? Because, you know, there's really some bold statements in the Scripture. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. Well, that certainly offends people who don't worship Jesus now, doesn't it? Or at least it has the potential to do so. Are we afraid to offend people by speaking the name that is above every name? Or maybe we want to avoid conflict. You know, you jump on the post somewhere and somebody's asking for you to send good vibes and positive thoughts, and you say, well, I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus, and somebody's going to complain about it. You know, all the universalists out there who believe that any and every religion is the same and most of them are foolishness anyway, they're going to be offended if you pray in the name of Jesus. And we might get into conflict. They might, you know, you ever see how somebody will post something positive and then somebody will post a negative comment on it and we forget all about the original title and there's 87,000 posts arguing about the complaint. You know, it totally derails the whole idea. A lot of times I'll turn off comments on some of my posts just to keep that from happening. And in our personal lives, as we're talking to people and ministering to people, we might talk about the help that we get in church or the help that the Lord brings us or this or that, and we even avoid the name of Jesus in that context. Why? Are you afraid you don't measure up? Well, you know, I'd like to represent my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I'm not good enough to do it. I stub my toe. I say things I ought not say. There's things that I do in my life that just aren't right at the foot of the cross. And I'm afraid I don't measure up. And if I witness about Jesus, then people will call my hand on it because I'm not perfect. Would that we were all as bold as Paul. You know what Paul said? You want to see what a Christian looks like? Look at me. Was Paul perfect? No. Did he stub his toe from time to time? I'm sure he did. We all know what his past was. He was trying to stamp out the church of Jesus Christ. But he basically said, hey, I'm not that guy anymore. I represent Jesus. David, a man after God's own heart. You know, pre-Jesus, but man after God's own heart. David fouled up royally, as only a king can do. But he was called a man after God's own heart because when he realized how bad he fouled up, he took full blame for what he did and went running to God. That's what Christians do. Sure, we're not perfect. Sure, we mess up. Might fall on my face before I get off his platform. But what do I do with it? Are we afraid to offend? Are we trying to avoid conflict? Are we afraid we don't measure up? Or maybe we're trying to protect ourselves like Peter. Remember Peter in the courtyard when Jesus had been arrested? Trying to warm his hands around the fire. And people said, weren't you one of his disciples? 3 times. No. Never knew him. I never knew him. We're trying to protect ourselves. Peter, in that hour, operating in the flesh, operating in the absence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, he wanted to not be noticed because he didn't want to get arrested too. And sometimes I think we try to protect ourselves from criticism. Because maybe we're afraid we can't defend what it is we believe. Maybe we're afraid that we don't know quite what to say. You know where you hear the name of Jesus probably more than you do in church? The bar, the construction site, the mine site, or when an athlete scores a touchdown or makes a good play, whether they're sincere or not. We're likely to hear the name Jesus in the world in some cases more than we do in the church house or when among the people of God when they're assembled. It's a scary thing that the one thing that makes Christianity different from every other religion, the person of Jesus Christ, and we tend to edit him out of our modern discourse about church. I'm here to tell you, it's not about church. It's not about a club or a religion or a philosophy. It's about a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And as I said, He is the only way to the Father. Scripture is implicit about that. There is no other way to get to God except through Jesus. So why aren't we shouting his name from the rooftop instead of muttering it behind our hands so no one else will hear it? We sure want to call on his name when we're in trouble, as long as nobody else can hear us. It's a scary thing. I want to share some scripture with you here this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verses, I'm going to take an excerpt out of 5 through 11. I'm going to start about verse 9. Philippians 2, 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of, wait a minute, do better than that, that at the name of
Jesus,
every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name that is above every name. Every name. Okay? Why aren't we calling on the name? Why aren't we shouting the name of Jesus from the rooftops? We should be taking advantage of the fact that he does have the name that is above every other name, and that is the name at which every entity in heaven, on earth, under the earth, eventually we will all bow the knee and shout the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at the latter part of verse 20. And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Not only is the name of Jesus good for the age in which we live, for eternity, it's still above every name. Every name. There's some privilege in that name too. Jesus himself, as he is teaching, he's teaching his disciples, and in Matthew chapter 18, he says, among many other things, this: for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. What name? New Hope Church? Pastor John? No. Gathered together in Jesus' name. What does it mean to do anything in his name? It means as his representative, right? It's like you're an emissary from the king. You're sent out. You have your marching orders. You have your assignment. I want you to go there and say this and that. That's your assignment, right? What are you authorized to do in the king's name? To go to the place he designated and say what he said to say. You're not entitled or empowered to do anything else. You're doing it, you're acting, I'm acting as the representative of the king, and therefore I can only do what the king authorized me to do. Okay? What did Jesus authorize his followers to do? Spread the gospel message. Baptize people into the name of Jesus. Into the name of Jesus. To heal the sick. To raise the dead. Cast out demons. All of those things, all those functions that Jesus did when he was walking and living and breathing in a human form on this planet, that's what he has authorized us to do. Now, there might be specific marching orders for specific days, but in generalities, that's true. So, if we're acting in his name, then we're doing what he would do if he were here. We're speaking what he would speak if he were here. That's what it means to do something in his name. So, where two or three are gathered together in my name, let me ask you a question. Why are you here this morning? Are you gathered to do things in the name of Jesus? Is it your habit to come here? Did you come to hear a stimulating message from the pastor? Did you come here to sing a song? Did you come here because you're expected to be here by somebody else? Did you come here because it looks good on your resume? Why are you here? Are you here in the name of Jesus to do the things Jesus would do, to say the things Jesus would say? Is that why you're here? Now, it appears to me there are more than two or three of us here. And if two or three of us are here on Jesus' business, guess what? He's here in the midst of us. And we are greater together than the sum of our individuality is. Think about that one for a while. I sure want anything I do in his name to be done with him present. Amen. But you see, in whose name you are acting is important. I want to direct you to a scripture that struck me differently this morning when I saw it. I'm in John chapter 10. And I'm going to start reading at verse 24 and read through 26, and then we're going to chat a minute. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But if you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. What did Jesus say that he did? The works that he does, why? In his Father's name. Jesus understood submission to ultimate authority. Jesus said, and he says this elsewhere in the gospel as well, but he only does what I only do what Daddy tells me to do. I point to the Father, the Holy Spirit points to me. In whose name you do things is important. So if we are the church and if we are doing things in Jesus' name, we ought to be screaming the name from the housetops. It's not New Hope Church that does it. It's not Pastor John that does it. It's not Dwayne or Peggy or Bruce or whoever that does it. We're doing it in Jesus' name. We're doing it as His representatives. In whose name we do something determines the value of what we do. It determines the effectiveness of what we do. I could walk in here today and say I'm authorized by the President of the United States to do thus and so. That might be a lie. And it only carries so much weight. It only carries as much weight as whoever's backing me up says. If the folks at the White House said, kid, well, I never heard of him. I don't know who he is or what he's doing. He doesn't have any authority from us. Well, that same chain of command works through Jesus to the Father. You know, if you say, I'm doing something in Jesus' name, but you're not authorized to do it, it's so many words, right? It's important that we do things the right way, and it's important that we let the world know whose name we're operating in. John chapter 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The name of Jesus is not a magic word, it's not a talisman, it's not an incantation, but if we're truly doing what He would do, what He has authorized us to do, and we're doing it in His name, then that name conveys power to what we're doing. We're not operating in our power and authority, we're operating in God's power and authority through Christ Jesus. But you know, I touched on this before. And I'm going to touch on it again here as we continue on. I am, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through who? Through who? Okay. Now, here's a bone of contention with the world. And even somewhat in the modern church circles. Are all paths to God truly valid? Not according to what the Scripture says. It says there's one way, there's one gate, there's one door, there's one truth. And that is through Jesus Christ. The world doesn't like that. The world is too educated and philosophical to think that this old archaic religion, that it's just not fair. Well, that's a song the modern world sings, isn't it? It's not fair. Newsflash, life ain't fair. But it's even. It's equal. It's not fair that only through Jesus. What about the Hindus and the Buddhists? What about the Satanists and the paganists and the nature worshipers? What about all those people that don't recognize Jesus for who He is? It's just not fair that they should be excluded. Well, it may not be fair, but it's the truth. If we believe what this Bible says, It says, only through Jesus do we have access to God the Father, the Creator of the universe. Only through Jesus. Not through any human religion, not through any meditations or incantations, not through any spells or channeling or witchcraft. Only through Jesus do we have access to God the Father. And that ought to do a couple of things for us. One is it ought to ensure the urgency that we let people we care about know that there's one door. It's like there was one door to get in the ark. There's one door to get to God. And that door's name is Jesus. Just like sometimes, you know, in the world around us, if you got to get out of a building, there may only be one exit. Well, the only way out of the building is through that exit. The only way in is through that entrance. We got to get our priorities right. And if we truly believe that that is the truth, and if people we care about are going another direction, why isn't it imperative that we try to show them where the door is? And not share some philosophy or not share some membership in some organization or whatever, not share the latest self-help book, but share the fact that there's one way to ensure your eternal destiny, and that is through Jesus Christ. Shout His name. You know, in the community of people of color, there is a tradition, and we heard a lot about it following the George Floyd thing. Remember the Say His Name campaign? And that philosophy comes from ancient beliefs that the only way to remember someone is to speak their name. It goes even back beyond that. Do you know that in ancient Egypt, when a new pharaoh would arise and he wanted to remove the ability of his predecessor to have eternity, you know what he'd do? He'd go to his tomb and he'd scratch out the cartouches that had the guy's name on it. If the name isn't remembered, then the person is forgotten. Well, if we fall into this trap of expunging the name of Jesus from our daily discourse, if we sing contemporary Christian songs that the average person, you know, we ought to walk in, and if we're listening to Christian music, there are a couple different levels of it. There's the one level that works for us based on our understanding in our personal worship. But you walk in here on a Sunday morning, somebody that crawled out of the gutter from the bar last night, that's crawled in the back door, that never been in a church house before, ought to know who we're worshiping. By the words that we sing, by the messages that are preached, by the songs, by everything, somebody ought to walk in here or crawl in here and know they're in Jesus' house. You know, the public worship, it needs to be crystal clear that we're worshiping Jesus and not just singing some interesting music. We ought to know. We ought to be able to walk in and hear a sermon and walk out and say, I need this Jesus. I need to refocus my life on Jesus. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. And the something about that name is this: God designated it for us to access Him through Jesus. So there is something about that name. So we need church not only on our Sunday morning worship, not only in our devotional time, but in our daily intercourse with the world. We need to shout the name of Jesus. It needs to be on the tip of our tongue. Scripture tells us we always ought to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. There's one reason for the hope that we have. His name is Jesus. And we need to display His character and witness to Him. We don't need people to follow us or to come to church because we're good people, but because we bear the name of Christ and we share the name of Christ and we witness not to my good sense in coming to church, but to God's desire to restore a relationship with me through Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Having said that, I'm going to ask us to take a look at what we do, at what we do corporately. I spoke to Shane, you know, some time ago. I said, you know, we need to do things that celebrate who God is. We need to do music that celebrates God's character. When we come in here, we don't need to focus on what he can do for me. We need to focus on who he is. See, we don't worship God's hand now, do we? We're supposed to seek his face. His hand indicates what he can do, and there's a whole lot of people that want God to do what God can do. But there's less people that want to crawl up in Daddy's lap and gaze lovingly into his face. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we feel like we're too dirty. But you know what? If your child or your grandchild was out rolling in the mud and they still wanted to crawl up in your lap, would you shoo them away? Take them inside and give them a bath. Sometimes God needs to take us inside and give us a bath. Amen? So what's going on? Where are we? Where are you? Are we celebrating the name of Jesus corporately? Are we celebrating it personally? And are we sharing it? As you see, there are a few things that will happen when you share the name of Jesus. Some people will embrace it like a glass of water after a week in the desert. Some people will throw it back in your face. Some people will look at you like you're a Neanderthal and a nut. Other people will look at you and saying, you've given me what I need. You see, there's risk in everything. When we share the name of Jesus, when we proclaim the name of Jesus, then what we need to do is be prepared for whatever the results are. God has to prepare the way. And in our prayer life, that's one of the things that we should always do. It says, Lord, whoever I come in contact with today that needs to hear about you, give me the strength and wisdom to share what you want and prepare the way so that the seed can be received. As you see, we live in the midst of a lot of hurting people. We live in the midst of a lot of lost people. We live in the midst of people that desperately need Jesus and probably don't realize that that's what they need. And God's got to prepare the way for the word to be received. We're going to go into a time of sharing the Lord's Supper, of sharing communion. And that communion is a sharing of a remembrance of who Jesus is and what he did. It has to be about him. And as we share together the elements of communion, we need to understand that the oneness that we have with God and the oneness that we have in each other is only through that door, who is Jesus Christ. No other way, no other door. There is no other truth than the truth that is embodied in Christ Jesus. So before we share communion, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do any business with God that you need to do. If you can, stand. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then I'll go silent for a moment and give you a moment to do personal business. And then I'll call the fellows forward to share the elements. Father God, please do not let us be part of this Jesus-less church. Because Father, without the work of Christ, the obedience of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, the suffering of Christ, and the resurrection power of Christ, we're worshiping a dead religion. Only through Jesus, the sweet and precious and powerful name of Jesus, is any of this possible. So, Father, if we have edited the name that is above every name out of our conversation, if we've edited it out of our preaching, our teaching, our singing, whatever it may be. We repent of that, Lord, because editing Jesus out of Christianity is not only an oxymoron, it's sin. And Father, we just reach out to you this morning. Restore in each of us a sense of the power and the majesty and the privilege that is embodied in the name of Jesus, but also, Lord, the servanthood that is embodied in his name. Because, Lord, he came not serving his own interest, but serving the interest of the Father, which was to reach out to those who would call on his name. Father God, as we gather together this morning to share Holy Communion, to share the Lord's Supper, to share what the remembrance that Jesus gave us during that last Passover, during this Passover season, as a matter of fact, we ask you, Lord, to cleanse us. Cleanse out the sin that so easily besets us. Cleanse out, Lord, the laziness that keeps us from promoting the things of Jesus Christ. The fear, the doubt, the unbelief, whatever is in us that prevents us from living fully in you, I ask you to purge it out of my life this morning and these people who are praying as well. And Father, we take a moment now to confess our personal sins.